welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Amen. Well, great to be here this morning. And I just want to put you all at your ease. Just all relax. Obviously, this is an awesome church, a church that's been established, a great heritage upon everyone that has been here, that is here, and is yet to come. Amen? Because it's God's people and God's church. And this is the first time, other than Christmas, but the first time that I've been here and seeing the worship team minister. It was awesome. Great job this morning, David. And the team, just lovely to see everybody functioning this morning. It's lovely to be in this wonderful place. And so much work has been done to get you all here. But it's lovely to be in your home. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I just think you're a wonderful people of God. And God has more for this people of God, more that he wants to do, more that he wants to accomplish, and he accomplishes through each and every one of us have a part to play, and as we find our part to play, we all, it just is great. Everything functions, and there's a town to win, there's a city to win, there's a nation to win, and there's a world to win as we do our part, and we find our part, and we find our place. So it's awesome. It's everything I'm getting from the Lord at the moment. These are exciting days to be alive. Exciting days to be alive. He just keeps saying, excited. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about Ireland right now, Karen. I'm so excited. Get excited. I'm so excited about Ireland for what I'm about to do. He said, we're not going to just see little pockets of a move of God. You know, even in a congregation, you can see a little pocket. You can see those real worshipers and those that are really into, you know, praising God. Were they even in a congregation? And between churches, you can see pockets of a move of God. But God says, no more. He says, for every church that reaches out to me and praises me and loves to be in my presence, I am just about to pour forth my glory that's never been seen before. And we are right. We're right there. That's why we're so excited about what God's doing. Praise God. This is the most exciting time to be alive. It's my most exciting time to be alive in God because of the move of God that is upon us. God's going to open our spiritual eyes. He's going to open our spiritual ears. I tell the kids, you know, we've got spiritual ears down here. It's our spirit. We're going to smell Jesus in the room. We're going to see Jesus. We're going to encounter his presence more and more and more. Who's ready for that? I'm so ready for that. I can't get enough time just with the Lord. I'm jealous for time on my own with the Lord. And the Lord has to go and he says, okay, Karen, you've got to come out. So, you know, you've got to go out. There's things I need you to do. You can't just be with me all the time. And I'm not saying I'm there all the time with him, but in my secret place with the Lord, it's beautiful. It's lovely. I'm starting to close my eyes and go, where are you in the room, Lord? And sensing where he is in the room. I'm learning more. We've all got more to learn. Who realizes that? We've all got more to experience. We've all got more of the word to apply to our lives. And it's just wonderful. It's so awesome. So God gave me a word this morning through the week, and it's entitled, Not by Might, Not by Power, But by My Spirit. I just want us to turn to, or we'll put it up on the screen, Exodus in chapter 25. There's going to be a few long passages I read out just to give us a little bit of history and account, but stay with us. Exodus 25, and actually if we start in verse 1, Graham. And this is the Lord talking to Moses. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites that they take for me an offering, and from every man who gives it willingly and ungrudgingly from his heart, you shall take an offering. There's so much we can say, and I'm not talking about offering here this morning, but the Lord wants an offering, and he said he wants it willingly. He wants it willingly, and he's implying here, and not grudgingly. So if we're giving any sort of an offering to the Lord, if that's finances, if that's our worship, if that's our time or anything, if we don't give it willingly and give it without a grudge, don't give it. Do not give it. I tell people, keep your money in your pocket if you don't want to give it cheerfully. Because God wants a willing offering. Keep your, what you call, your praise to yourself, because you would never have entered into a worship realm if it was never willingly. This offering, because God's looking at the heart. Verse 3, this is the offering you shall receive from them, gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet, and fine twined linen and goat's hair, ram skins tanned red, it's God specific, goat skins, dolphin, or porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing, oil, and for the sweet incense. Oink stones and stones for setting in the ephod and in the breastplate. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. This Old Testament, let them make me. God wanted a sanctuary that he would dwell among them. And you shall make it according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle or the dwelling, the pattern of all the furniture of it. And so then he goes on to say how he wanted it done. They shall make an ark of acacia wood, 2.5 cubits long, 1.5 cubits wide, 1.5 cubits high. You shall overlay the ark with pure gold, thanks, inside and out, and make a gold crown, a rim or a border around its top. You shall cast 4 rings and attach them to the lower, to the 4 lower corners of it, 2 rings on either side. This is talking about the Ark of the Covenant and how they were making it. You shall make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and put the poles through the rings on the ark's side by way by which to carry it. And the poles shall remain in the rings of the ark, so shall they shall not be removed from it, so that the ark of the covenant should not be touched. Have we got a wee picture that we can put up of the ark of the covenant? And you shall put inside the ark of the testimony 10 commandments, which I shall give you. And you shall make a mercy seat, a covering of gold, 2.5 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. That mercy seat, that was the top of it. It was the seat of atonement. Oh, I'll come back to that. And you shall make 2 cherubim, winged angelic figures of hammered gold on 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make 1 cherub on each end, making the cherubim of the peace with the mercy seat and the 2 ends of it. And the cherubim shall spread out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, facing each other and looking down upon the mercy seat. And you shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony, the 10 commandments that I will give you. Verse 22, there I will meet with you. How specific was God about the tabernacle? And we're just reading a bit about the ark. How specific did he want the ark made? And when that was done, only when that was done, there I will meet with you. I'll meet with you from above the mercy seat, from between the 2 cherubim that are upon the ark of the testament. I will speak intimately with you, Moses. He's talking to Moses. I'll speak intimately with you, Moses. Was he going to speak intimately with the people then? No, not then. Because this is Old Testament time. This is when the Lord, when God would just speak to the prophet, to the king, to his man of God. I'll speak intimately with you, Moses, of all which I'll give you in commandment to the Israelites. And so Moses gave out the instructions, and this was made, the tabernacle. It was like a tent, it was made. And in the tabernacle, we don't have too much time to go into it, and a lot of you are going to know this, but for those of you that don't, the tabernacle, or this tent that they would put up in the wilderness, and as the Israelites traveled during that time, you came in, you had a big outer court, and then you had the holy place. It was separated, the holy place, and then the holy place was separated by a big curtain, and behind that was the Holy of Holies, and in the Holy of Holies was the beautiful ark put. And in the Holy of Holies was the ark, and it was at the ark that the Lord said, between the cherubim, I will meet with you. It was it housed the presence. It was with the presence of the Lord. And only once a year, because they had lots of priests in those times, and Levites, but there was always a head priest, a high priest. They had one high priest. And only the high priest could go in to the Holy of Holies where the ark was, behind the curtain, once a year. And to do that, he had to go through so many ritual cleansing. And if you read through Leviticus, it tells you how that priest, the high priest, would have to prepare himself. And it says he wore beautiful his robes, but at the end of the robes, at the bottom, they'd put the little bells around, and they'd tie a little... He would put a rope around his ankle, and off he would go in, and he only prayed and trusted that he had prepared himself enough that when he walked behind the curtain into that Holy of Holies where the ark was, that he wasn't struck down dead, because had he missed anything in his preparation to approach his holy God, he'd have been struck down. Not because the Lord didn't love him, but it's all to do with the glory of God and sin. And if he was struck down dead, the reason for the little bells was that the priests were outside and they were listening. As long as they could hear the bells, he was fine. But when the bells stopped, after a long period of time, they realized, okay, we need to pull on that rope. And he's pulled out. So the Ark of the Covenant was precious. It was housed in the Holy of Holies. The priests had to go through. The priests were the only ones to carry the Ark. Nobody else could carry this Ark. The priests had to, and they had to go through that cleansing and purification in order to carry it. And it traveled with them throughout the 40 years that the children of Israel were in the wilderness. Do you remember whenever... the children of Israel, when Joshua was leading them into Canaan, and they had to cross over the Jordan. Well, the priests had to carry the ark on their shoulders, and I think there's a picture up there of the ark, some priests carrying the ark on their shoulders. And remember, just we read about the rings. Do you see there? Do you see that there was rings and the pole was put through there? It was so that they could carry the ark on these poles, so those priests would not touch the ark. It was not to be touched. That was the reason that those poles were put in there through those rings. Everything with God was very specific. Everything. And so they carried that. And so whenever they went, there's the picture. It says as soon as the priests who were carrying the ark touched with their tip of their toe the waters of the Jordan, they all went back up. The presence of the Lord causes waters to go back and to recede, and the people were able to cross over the Jordan into the promised land. The other time the ark was with the people was when they encircled Jericho. Remember all the priests and people that went round once every day for 6 days? The ark was going before them, and the seventh day then the seven trumpeters were before the ark, and the people all shouted and the walls fell down. So I'm saying all that to say the ark was so, so important, and it was God meeting with his people. But I just want to read another little bit, because one day that ark was captured. Now, I've just hopefully built something for you to understand how precious that ark was, and it was captured. And I'm going to just read this for time's sake rather than me expound on it. When Eli was an old man and Samuel was young, the Philistines won a battle against Israel, and they stole the Ark of the Covenant. The Israelites had brought the Ark from Shiloh to the battlefield, thinking it would help them. Interesting, isn't it? Thinking with the mind, it would help them. Obviously, God didn't tell them to take it to the battlefield, because it wouldn't have been captured. When old Eli heard that the ark had been captured, get this, he fell backwards out of his chair. He died of a broken neck. The Philistines brought the ark to Ashdod, and they set it next to their idol, Dagon, and the idol fell over twice and was broken beside the ark. A plague of hemorrhoids. They're not nice. Ravaged the city, so the Philistines set the ark on a new cart, and they let it return to the Israelites. Put it in a cart, put it in the wheels, maybe oxen. They carried that, and they let it go. And the ark was entrusted to the house of Abinadab. And a long time later, David suggested to the Israelites that the ark should be brought from Abinadab's house to the city of David. And the people agreed, and the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. In other words, it was a good idea. People thought, it's a great idea, David. Now, the next thing we read, they carried the ark of God in a new cart. And this is how the Philistines had transported the ark on the advice of their priests, the priests of Dagon. Following that example, David and the people transported the ark from its keeping place to Jerusalem. So they put it on an ark, on a new cart, and was driven by oxen. And the new cart was driven by Uzzah. And all the people joined David in jubilant journey, celebrating with music and dancing. Yes, what they were doing was right in their own eyes, but was it right in God's? Because the ark didn't make it to Jerusalem. Along the way toward Jerusalem, the oxen nearly upset the ark. And Uzzah reached out his hand to steady it, and the anger of the Lord burned against him. And God struck him dead. David got really angry. He couldn't understand. He got angry with God. And he says, God, we were doing a good thing, bringing the ark back. And now this man has been struck down dead. And he got offended with the Lord. And so the ark was taken to the house of Obed-Edom for safekeeping. Now, before we just go on a little bit, Uzzah, who was responsible and driving that cart, he stretched out to save it. Now, that's a good thing. You'd think that'd be a good thing, wouldn't you? So that ark wouldn't fall. But nobody was to touch the ark. And because of that, remember, the high priest, if he wasn't properly prepared going into the Holy of Holies, he'd be struck down. Because of that, he died. Interesting enough, Uzzah means strength. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. The oxen that were pulling the new cart always represent strength. It's not by might. It's not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So Uzzah's intentions were good, but they weren't God's way. So good intentions, if they're not God's way, not always even remain good. It seems right in my eyes. It seems right in our eyes. But if it's not God's eyes, how can they be good? So David saw, remember, the ark was left in Obed-Edom. the house of Obed-Edom. And David saw during that time that his house was blessed. He was seeing increase come to his house. And David saw that, and he saw that the hand of God was there. He saw the presence of God bringing blessing, obviously, to that house. And he had a change of heart. He saw that, and it changed David's heart. When he saw the blessing, he was reminded, no, that the Ark of the Covenant needs to be with us in Jerusalem. It provoked him to jealousy. When he got offended, you see, he says, the ark can stay there. But he saw the blessing. And he goes, we're bringing the ark back. You were bringing it back. And the second attempt to bring back the ark was found in 1 Chronicles 15. I'm just going to read a few verses first. Start in verse 12. It says, David said to them, the Levites, sanctify yourselves, because they knew what they were to do when they carried this ark. You and your brethren, that you may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel to the place I prepared for it. Now look at this, verse 13. For because you did not do it the first time, the priests were to know. David was to know. So why on earth they listened to the Philistine priests? I don't know. Because you did not do it the first time, the Lord our God broke out against us, because we did not consult him about proper order. Verse 14, so the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel. And the children of the Levites bore the ark of God on their shoulders by its poles, as Moses had commanded them, according to the word of God. And then David spoke to the leaders of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers, accompanied by instruments of music, stringed instruments, harps, and cymbals, by raising the voice with resounding joy. They were so excited, so joyful. Verse 25, it says, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains, over thousands, went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. Verse 26, and this is what I love. In fact, when I saw this verse back on Tuesday, when I asked the Lord, what do you want me to minister? I saw this verse, this little phrase, six words, and the Lord gave me this message for the house. And with God helping the Levites that bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. And they went, you know, it was about 6 steps, and then they stopped and they sacrificed and they danced and they praised God, and they would go and do this again, another few steps, and again, but they were so thankful that God was helping them because they valued and appreciated the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 27, David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who bore the Ark, the singers, and the music master with his singers. And David also wore a linen ephod, and thus all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn and the trumpets and cymbals, making music with stringed instruments and harps. You know, it cost David something. It cost him to carry the ark. It was hard, it was sweaty, it was full of sacrifice. Literally, they're sacrificing all the way to Jerusalem, offering their animal sacrifices all the way. God's helping us. We're going to sacrifice more. He's helping us. Oh, we're going to sacrifice more. He's helping us. For us today, we are carriers of the presence of God. We're the only ones that can experience his presence, as somebody who's not born again cannot experience the presence of God. But it's only when Jesus comes in to our life, he moves in with his presence. And we start to experience his presence when we're alone in our secret place. There's a way to approach God. And the way to approach God is first in praise, as David led us out in praise. When we go back to that tabernacle of tent, it was the outer court. Outer means it's out of the presence of God. It's a place where you're coming in, you're thanking God, says enter into his gates with thanksgiving in your hearts. Praise in your hearts. It's a praise where you're still thanking God for what he's done. You're still conscious of me, me, me. Oh, thank you for what you've done for me this week. But you're still praising for what you've done for me. But you're still in that outer court. But when you move into that holy of holies, which we can now, having come back to that, we're in that place today because the Ark of the Covenant was in the holy of holies, that most holy place. And it had a big veil and a big heavy material from top to bottom that the dimensions are all in the Bible. I don't have them with me today. But when Jesus died on the cross, that veil was rent in two for this reason. That because whenever the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies once a year, he went in to sprinkle the animal blood on the mercy seat, the seat of atonement. And when Jesus gave his blood, he then took the place of the high priest and he has become our high priest. And so that veil was torn in two. There was no need. There's no Holy of Holies now. Anybody who takes Jesus as their Lord of Lords, his presence moves in. Isn't it awesome? I have as much right now to the presence of God as any high priest ever did. I can experience the presence of God, but God still has a way. He still cannot deal with a sin. He can still sees our heart. So when we come through that outer place and we're in that place of praise, we're thanking God for all you've done for me, 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 and we pass that place and we start to enter a realm of worship when it's all about him. That's when we encounter his presence. That's when I encounter his presence. There's sometimes all I can do is tears trickle down my face. I have to be careful. I have to be careful now when I'm up front with the people because so many times I can't find a mascara that doesn't run. I have panda eyes. I just understand that Pastor Karnoff, you know, in worship, she's been with the Lord. So her makeup runs. Who cares? I remember one time at church, it was the biggest minister. And we know we don't extol man, but sometimes in us we do. And we had Pastor Dennis Burke. He's a traveling minister, but he ministers along with Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth Copeland ministry. He ministers at all his conferences and things like that. And for us, he was if you go into that, a big name minister coming to our wee church a number of years ago. And I'd been leading worship that day, and the presence of the Lord was there, and it was, you know, maybe tears in my eyes, whatever happened. And then a wee while later, was in the pulpit giving announcements. You know, when you plant a church, when you start planting a church, you pretty much do everything. So there's been a time that I'd be leading worship, and then I'd turn around and come and do the announcements and maybe offer, and then I would hand over to Pastor Brian. And then I would go up and I would take the kids to kids' work. So it was one of those mornings. And so I was up doing the announcements, and I saw people looking at me a bit strange. But nobody would tell me my mascara was dying. I mean, it was heavy. It was thick. It was the worst. I mean, that was when I really learned, don't put this thing on heavy. And then, you know, and honestly, if you need humbling, the Lord knows how to do it, right? So, where was I? When you're in his presence, tears may flow. It's all about him. You're encountering his presence. And whereas in praise, you're shouting and you're loud and you're loud and you're loud. In worship, in his presence, you go softer, softer, and softer. Because it's not about you. It's all about him. And he starts speaking to your heart. And you're being drawn in that intimate place. And when I'm in that intimate place, maybe when the worship team are leading, I'm on the floor in that intimate place. I'm going, I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. But you have to get up because the service has to move on. That's what I'm talking about. So when I'm in my living room, in my intimate place, I don't have to get up. Unless I have an appointment, I don't have to get up. I've got the time to be with Him, to spend time with Him. And so when we're in that place, in His presence, we're the only one who can encounter His presence. And from that place, we can carry it. You see, not just any of us can carry His presence. How can you carry it if you're not experiencing it? What would you give me if you're not experiencing the presence of God? How could you bring that to me? It's awesome to experience the presence and then carry it to this needy world where God will have, you'll have a word with someone. You're His hands and you're His feet. And imagine when we're all carrying, encountering His presence, and we all come here. Imagine the depths of worship that we would reach. It was in a prayer meeting probably about 6 months ago. I just starting to get this download from the Lord about the move of God. The move of God that I just told you about a wee while ago that's upon us now. And I just said to those present, you know, and I went home to say to Brian, we've got to get ready. The church has got to get ready. You know, I can see why this place is ready. We have a nice carpet. We're going to be doing carpet time. If during praise, during worship, it's not going to be during praise and worship. If you want to just start kneeling, kneel. If you're drawn to lay down on the floor, prostrate before Him. Do it. Don't let your pride stop. Don't go, well, I have my hair done. You don't get all mucked. No. Do it. We just had a new ceiling put in Kingdom Harvest this week. I know it's for those times. People are going to be looking up from the floor. It's not just about the church having their holy moment with God, but it's only certain things can be accomplished when the church comes together and the anointings mingle together. And so there will be those times so that then we can go out, or we can move things forward in the Spirit, corporately. So I'm so excited about what God has. Psalm 91 says, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Mighty. Not he who visits the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place. I understand that you cannot be in your living room or your prayer closet all the time. But you can have those times, and then with that you take the presence with you. That's what it's talking about, abiding. Not visiting. It's your address. It's where you live. God's so jealous over us. He's just wanting us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants to commune with us. He wants it intimate. Remember, we read those scriptures. I want to talk to you intimately, Moses. But now He says to all of us today, I want to talk with you intimately. There's nothing that He will hold back from us. Anything you need to know, He will tell you. If you really need to know it. Some things that I ask Him, and He goes, I just even know sometimes not to ask Him because I know in my heart, He's not going to tell me, because right now I don't need to know that. If He thinks you need to know something, He's going to tell you. But you need to listen. You need to take time. Time, time. It takes time to be quiet. It takes time in the secret place. You know, when you're in that secret place, you first go in and you're thanking God. And maybe you're asking God for things. You have to get all through that, and then you're entering into that communing with Him. See, when you're still asking about things, you're in the outer court. It's all about me, me, me. And that's good. We have to, and we're told to do that. So that's a good. We have to do that. But if we just stop there, it's all about me, 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 and we're still in the outer court, we've not gone any further. So we've got to get past that and into the communion with Holy Spirit. Communion with Him. Listening. And then having that intimacy with Him. Galatians 5:25 says, since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. You know, there's the two realms. There's a realm of the flesh, and there's a realm of the Spirit. And we're spirit beings. And we're made to live, just like a fish is made to live in water. We are spirit beings. The presence of God is where we're to dwell. It's where we function the best, from that place. Not from the mind, not from the turmoil, not from anywhere else, but His presence. He's a heart God. So many people have been damaged by the flesh. It's our strength. The flesh won't profit. Only doing things God's way profits. That's why we looked at the biblical account of Uzzah. He was doing a good thing, but he touched the ark. We're not supposed to touch the ark. It was his strength. He was using his strength even to stop it from stumbling. But it wasn't right. Some people can pray in the flesh, and it's in the flesh. It's in their strength. Trying to make something happen. And they get no results. And then after a while that goes on and on, they start to blame God. You know, praise God, all of us, because we're all spirit beings, we have this. The playing field has been leveled. It's all the same. It's all of us can encounter God as much as we want. God doesn't play favorites. We can encounter Him as much as we want. But it's those that pay the price. And what's the price? Time. You won't have the same time. Maybe for shopping. You won't maybe have the same time for entertainment. Reading. Whatever that is. Because you're going to have to take time from somewhere to go, I want to spend more time with Him. But only in the spirit realm will you see results. Only in the spirit realm will you see results. I have to say it again. Only in the spirit realm will you see results. Solomon 1 verse 4 says, draw me. Draw me, we will run after you. And the king brought me into his chambers. You know, the Lord drew us to a salvation experience. He had to draw us, and then we said, yes, we surrendered our life to Him. But we didn't wake up in the morning and go, that's a good idea. It didn't come from the flesh. It came from God drawing us, and then we surrendered. And God always wants our hearts surrendered to Him. And when we get into that place of worship, when we get into that place of intimacy with God, something happens. Because it's not about me. I'm not trying to hold on to stuff. We surrender. It's in those places that God has broken me down. It's in those places, if I've been carrying anything, be it unforgiveness, bitterness, hurt, it's when I've been in the presence, in the secret place that God has, ooh, I'm so sorry. He broke me down. It's been in that place of surrender when I've been laying flat on the floor in front of a congregation, perhaps, and they have no idea what's going on, but I've said, God, your will, not mine. If you're in the outer court in that place, in prayer or in praise, where it's still all about you, 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 even your greatest tension or intentions about letting go of anything can be powerless without that place of intimacy where the Holy Ghost helps you. Back to that verse, and the Lord helped the Levites to carry. He helps us. He helps us to be what he wants us to be. To be where he wants us to be. To do what he wants us to do. And to say what he wants us to say. He draws us. Draw me, Lord, and we will run after you. Many are trying to run their own engines themselves. And it's the flesh. And it stinks. And the sad thing is, they don't even realize. They don't smell it. But anybody who's encountering the presence of God knows how to differentiate the smell of Jesus, the smell of the anointing, and the smell of the flesh. So we need to let God draw us, respond to his love. There's nothing to encounter, nothing like or can be compared to encountering God's presence. Ephesians 6 and 18 says, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. We're spirit beings. Pray in the Spirit. I used to think that meant pray in the Spirit, just, you know, speak in tongues, pray in your spiritual language. No, it's in the Spirit. We're a spirit being in communion with God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and every occasion. So all prayer that's going to produce results is Spirit prayer. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit. Isaiah 40 and 31 says, those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. And they'll run, not be weary, and walk, not faint. When we're waiting on him, when we're in the secret place, we won't run out of steam. There's even times in that place where the Lord, that just, it's a rest that comes upon. A rest that comes upon you. And you come out, you're just like clothed in that peace and clothed in that rest. And everything could be going on at your home, but you're like cocooned in that rest. And in that presence of God. It's beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Psalm 40 says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. So when we're waiting, we're to be still. We're to be still long enough for just the Lord to commune with us. And Psalm, the next verse, Psalm 40 and verse 2 says, and he brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon the rock, and he established my steps. It's like I said, waiting on the Lord, when you're in the presence of the Lord, when you're in that secret place, it weakens the flesh. The Holy Ghost gives you that strength in your inner man, and the flesh that's trying to grip you and keep you starts to lose the grip. When you enter the realm of the Spirit, something will happen to you. You start to sing. Everything, who's experienced that? Oh, in the worship. You start to sing. You start to sway. Tears may fall from your eyes. Perhaps you can't stand anymore. You have to kneel. Verse 3 of that same Psalm 40. And verse 3 says, He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. When you're in that place, you don't even need music. He puts a song in your heart, it comes from the inside. It's His presence. In His presence I break, I surrender. I says, God, take it all. My selfish will can't stand up against His beautiful, sweet presence. There's brokenness and repentance. There's cleansing. There's forgiveness. All things have passed away. In fact, the very memory of sin disappears. But when you're in the flesh, you're praying in the flesh, you maybe you come out of that time, you wonder, did really God hear me? But when you're in the Spirit and you're in the presence of God, the Word becomes real. There's a confidence there. You know that you know that you know that He heard you. There's a knowing. It's the difference between being the flesh and being the Spirit. In His presence, you'll know His will. You'll know exactly His plans for your life, and His will becomes your will. Worship is intimacy with the Lord. Every part of Him magnifies His name. It's not mental, it's spiritual. And worship just explodes inside of you. And when you come out of that place, His glory is wrapped all around you. The presence becomes His presence. Your presence becomes His presence. You carry His glory. You carry His victory. Wherever you go, He's with you. His eyes, His touch, His voice. It's time to find a place in the secret place. Time to take more time in the secret place. There's no place like it. None. And the move of God that is upon us requires it. We can talk and we can shout and we can sing about a move of God. But if you want to be in the move and you don't want to be a monument, you want to be in the move, then you need to be in the secret place, spending time with Him. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.